Evening, everybody, here at the Jewish Center of Teaneck. One of the questions that preoccupies Holocaust historians to this very day, and it's a subject of not just hotly contested debate, but it touches on the deepest moral problems raised by the Holocaust, is when exactly did the German government decide to proceed in a course of annihilation referred to colloquially as the final solution? And as I said, this is not just a matter of controversy, but it really gets to the core of the issue. Is when was their decision taken that there was going to be something unprecedented in the annals of humanity with respect to literally taking people, transporting them via modern technology, and gassing them to death in great numbers in the East and Poland? And one of the things that historians do agree about is that there was a process that was involved. You know, if Hitler becomes chancellor in 1933, you have the Nuremberg Laws in 1935, you have Kristallnacht in November 1938, and then you have the Wannsee Conference, which is where most historians agree that there was some consensus of the final solution, a number of years after that. So the point really is there's a process. And what's so chilling and haunting about studying the beginning of Sefer Shmos, as we've been doing evenings this week, is to recognize that you have a process which goes on. The first thing that I pointed out on Sunday was that Paro is able to define the Jewish people as a nation apart from the Egyptian nation. I would compare that to the Nuremberg Laws in a certain way. Vayomer lamo, hinei am b'nei Yisrael ravet sumimenu. I also pointed out the parallel, 11,000 Jewish soldiers received the Iron Cross, first or second class, in the First World War. And here you have the Jews who had done a great deal to help Egyptian society, and there was the need to revise that, to forget that. But again, it wasn't as if Paro was prepared at that point to undertake a genocidal campaign. He's not prepared to do that. Even Paro, who's no moral lodestar, the idea is to oppress the Jewish people. Vayasimu alav sare misim leman anu so besivlo sam. So it's either some kind of financial tax which is imposed on the Jewish people, and there's physical slavery as well, but it doesn't work. V'chasher ya'anu oso, but as the Egyptians oppress the Jews, ken yirbe v'chein yifrots. The Jewish people continue to grow in numbers and in strength. And then the Torah says something very fascinating, somewhat ambiguous. Vayakutsu mipnei b'nei Yisrael. That the Egyptians developed a kind of a national revulsion to the Jewish people. And yet, at this point, Paro is still not willing to go public. Who does he ask to help him perpetrate this genocide? He's not willing to go public about it. It's very fascinating. He's uncomfortable with it, either himself, or he thinks the Egyptian people aren't ready for it. He asks privately, Vayikra melech Mitzrayim la-miyaldos, so he calls over these miyaldos. Now, again, according to the simple reading of the Pesukim, it's not the Midrashic interpretation, it makes the most sense to suggest that these were Egyptian women. And as a matter of fact, that the way that they talk to Paro sounds very much like they're Egyptian. When he accuses them of violating and defying his will, they say, you have to understand something. These Jewish women are not like Egyptian women. Ki locha nashim ha-mitzriyos ha-ivriyos, ki chayos heina b'term tavo alehen ha-mialedes v'yaladu. Doesn't sound something like Jewish women would say. It sounds like they're Egyptian, and they're trying to say these Jewish women are different. So here you have this kind of biblical archetype of chasidei umos ha-olam, of righteous people who are just brave beyond description, that they're prepared to defy the most powerful person in the world. And the Torah says exactly why they were prepared to do it. The Torah says, "Vatirena hamialdos esho Elohim, velo asu kasher diber alehen melech Mitzrayim, vatechayen es hayiladim." Is that they believed in some higher authority. "Vatirena hamialdos esho Elohim." And so it was with many, many of the righteous amongst the nations that saved members of the Jewish people. There was this sense that they answered to God. And even though they knew that they were taking their lives into their own hands in defying the Nazis, they were prepared to do so. And so in this remarkable section of the Torah, we find so many parallels, really chilling parallels, to the development of a genocide Of course, Paro, after he realizes that he's not going to be able to intimidate the Mialdos into killing the Jewish children, he goes public with it. Vayomer Lamo, he says into his entire nation, Kol haben hayilod hayorot hashichu v'chol abas techayu. And only at that point does he go public, and does he say we're going to embark on a genocidal campaign against the Jewish people. But again, had the midwives not defied Paro, it's entirely possible that he could have achieved the same thing without having to publicly state his perverse and horrific genocidal aims against the Jewish people. Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Akash, Amar, Tzekadosh Baruch Hu, Zakus Yisrael, Lepikach, Ramon, Tzimitzu, Shenemar, Adonai, Chavetz, Saman, Tzidko, Yagdil, Terav, Yadir, Kaddish, Terabanan.